Welcome back to the next chapter of our enlightening exploration on Meltdown to Mastery. I'm your host, Jane Marquis, ND, and in part two, we continue our profound conversation with the visionary Udo Erasmus, the creator of Udo's Choice. In this episode, we delve into Udo's journey of crafting Udo's Choice, a blend of essential fatty acids that literally breathe life into our well-being. Join us as Udo shares his insights on the crucial distinctions between good and bad fats, drawing from his extensive knowledge encapsulated in the groundbreaking book, Fats That Heal, Fats That Kill. Discover the transformative power of essential fatty acids and the profound impact they have on our journey from meltdown to mastery. Welcome to Meltdown to Mastery, empowering women to overcome midlife crisis by rewiring the subconscious mind. Feeling overwhelmed, disillusioned, stuck? We all have. Here we explore inspiration and empowerment to navigate through the tough times and move to a place where hearts soar, minds manifest, and bodies heal.
Yeah.
Now, how did you discover your purpose in?
Yeah.
Was that in? In Udo's oils?
Well, it's only one.
You have many.
Now, see, because if it's true that purpose is to be present in the space, that's the primary purpose. And the secondary purpose is to help. Well, the oil is a secondary purpose. Because I was already doing this practice. I got married. My marriage broke up. I was really upset. I had just started doing the practice, you know, like I say, I'm a work in progress. and I wanted to kill something, so I took a job as a pesticide sprayer. And I did that really carelessly for 3 years. I walked over the lawns I had sprayed barefoot because it was a summer job and I liked getting a tan. So I was barefoot and then the skin peeled off the bottom of my feet. And then I thought, well, maybe I should wear rubber boots. But I always sprayed in a bathing suit because it was a summer job and I wanted to tan. Vanity, you know, right? And after 3 years of being really careless, I got poisoned. And so I went to the doctor and said, I had cramps, nausea, dizziness. If I turned my head, it felt like my head turned, but my brain didn't. Now, obviously, that's not possible, but that's what it felt like. And my energy was through the basement. I was 38 years old, and if I walked around a city block, I had to sit down and rest. So I went to the doctor and said, "What do you have for pesticide poisoning?" She said, "Nothing." And part of my story is I always, you know, I came out of the war and I was always very nervous and shy and I never knew what I could count on and I never felt safe. So I got into figuring out how things work, science, bioscience, psychology, medicine. Only did 1 year because I thought it was about health, but it's only about disease. Then biochemistry, genetics. So I had a pretty good background in biological sciences. When she said, "We don't have anything for pesticide poisoning," I thought, well, maybe I'll have to figure it out myself. So I got into the research because I know the words and I'm trained in the field. So I went to all the research and looked at everything that has to do with health and nutrition and disease and nutrition. That was my search words. And the idea was, well, you know, your body turns over 98% every year. Like 98% of the atoms in your body today will have been removed and replaced if you and I meet next year, same day. 98%. So what that means is that's why healing is possible, because your body's always turning over. So how do you heal? Well, it's actually very simple. If something goes wrong, then you raise your standard of the food, water, and air that you take in, because those are the building blocks for body construction. And if you do that right, optimize the intake of the 42 essential nutrients, drink the right kind of clean water, breathe clean air, you know, be physically active because the body's made from food, but for activity, you know, and you do that within 1 year, you will have rebuilt 98% of your body to that higher standard that you said. Well, that's what healing is. And so I thought, okay, well, I was looking at all of that, and I ended up getting stuck on oils because it was the most confused area. Everything else is pretty simple, but oils, it was like, I read a research article that said omega-6 is an essential nutrient. And that means it's a nutrient your body has to have but can't make, and therefore has to bring in from outside. And it also means that if you don't get enough, you cannot stay healthy. Your health will deteriorate. If you don't get enough long enough, you die. These are the essential building blocks for body construction and body function. And the third part of the definition is, if you're going down because you didn't get enough of an essential nutrient, but before you die, because by definition, death is not reversible, before you die, you bring enough back into your body, then all the symptoms that come from not getting enough are reversed. Because life knows what to do, provided we make sure here at our mouth to optimize all of the building blocks it requires in order to build that body. Like, life doesn't run out into the field and, you know, pick the grass. I have to do that. You know, eat the food, whatever it is, right? And so the article says omega-6 is an essential fatty acid by that definition. And the very next article I read said omega-6 gives you cancer and kills you. And my head exploded. It's like, does not compute. You can't have something that you have to be healthy that will then kill you. Okay? And that contradiction was like, what am I not getting? Why is either somebody's lying, and that's a possibility. There's lots of lies in science, just like everywhere else. Either somebody's lying, or there's something that's not being addressed here. And it was that question that got me to look deeper and find out how oils are made by industry. And what I found out was mind-blowing. They're treated with sodium hydroxide, with phosphoric acid, corrosive acid and base. They're bleached by bleaching clays. They go rancid. Then they have to be heated to frying temperature to blow off the rancidity. And then you end up with a colorless, odorless, tasteless oil, which is almost everything that lines all the shelves around the world in the stores, made by an industry that's about 100 billion industry a year. And then in that process, and this was the kicker, in that process, 0.5% to 1% of the molecules are damaged. So now they're changed from something that was existed in nature, that's natural, that life made a program to use and break down and deal with, into something that never existed in nature, that life never made a program for. So then they pile up in your body. They interfere with what's supposed to be going on in whatever space they occupy in the body. And they interfere with processes, especially in the mitochondria where the energy is made, but everywhere else too. And so they build down your body structure. They poison you. So 0.5% to 1% of the molecules are damaged. So I called the Oil Chemist Society, the umbrella organization of the oil industry, and I said, I want to talk to a researcher. They put him on the line. And I said to him, you know, when you know it does damage to the oil, why do you do this? He said, one of the reasons we deodorize the oil at frying temperature is because we can get rid of 0.5% of the pesticides in the oil. This was not good news for me. I'd been poisoned by pesticides. I didn't even know there were pesticides in oils. Mm. But anyway, they fry the oil to get rid of 0.5% the pesticides. And so I said, well, why don't you start with organically grown seeds? Then you don't have a pesticide problem to begin with. And there was a long silence at the other end of the phone. And you know, you can see I can talk, right? But I'm pretty good at listening too. So I waited, and it took like a long time. And then all of a sudden, he was back on the phone. He was angry. I said, what the hell is your problem? I don't know what your problem is. The oil is 99% good, and it's only 1% damaged. And if you got 99% on your exam, you'd be damn happy, wouldn't you? So now I'm backing off, and I'm thinking, well, maybe I'm overreacting. It's only 1%. But I wasn't impressed with his 99% because I got 99.5% on my pesticide sprayers exam. And I used to get 100% in genetics because I loved the field and just like, so the 99 was not as impressive to me as it was to him. So then decided, well, if when in doubt, do the math. So I decided to ask a question. If you have a tablespoon of an oil that is 1% damaged, how many damaged molecules will be in that tablespoon? And when I do live talks, I ask people, and they give me guesses. Have you heard this story before?
No, I haven't.
Okay, so I would want you to guess how many damaged molecules are in one tablespoon of an oil that is 1% damaged. It's 15 milliliters, 14 grams of oil, 1% damaged. How many damaged molecules do you think there might be on that tablespoon?
2,000.
Okay, perfect, perfect. No, so it's and you'll see why this is important. So 2,000, would you like to know the actual, 2,000 has three zeros, right?
Yeah.
Okay, would you like to know the actual number?
Add a zero, is that what you're going to say?
it's a six followed by 19 zeros.
Wow.
60 quintillion molecules. So you are four quadrillion times, three quadrillion times too low in your estimate. Now, three quadrillion, right? That's like 19, so 16 zeros, right? So then I say, okay, you're at the airport, you're going to fly home for the holidays, and somebody, you're about to get on the plane, and somebody tells you, someone who only ever tells the truth, says to you, by the way, did you know that your chance of crashing and dying on this flight is three quadrillion times higher than you thought it was? Would you get on the airplane? You know, and in Ireland, when I was there, I said, yeah, I would canoe back to Canada, right? But making that point, we are underestimating by three quadrillion times the damage we're doing to ourselves. And when I ask this question, because people don't know how big molecules are, so, you know, it's like, it's not a fair question, but that's why I ask it. You don't know. So I never get a number that isn't at least a billion times too low. So if I say to you, okay, so what you're doing to yourself using these damaged oils, and by the way, that's before you fry, and I'm not talking about the pesticide, I'm not talking the plastic that leaches into the oils, and I'm not talking about taking 2 to 4 tablespoons that most people do, and I'm not talking about doing it for 30 years, which is another 11,000 times that you'd have to multiply in. I'm just talking about one tablespoon, right? So if you're underestimating what you're doing to yourself by a billion times, does that give you pause and get you to rethink your use of damaged oils? Well, when I found all of that out, I said, man, I can't get healthy on oils like this. We should make them with health in mind. And then I developed a method for doing that. They're the most sensitive of our nutrients. They're damaged by light, by oxygen, and by heat. And they need protection from those. Of course, they're not protected. We throw them in the frying pan where light, oxygen, heat damage them all at the same time. And the higher the temperature is, the faster they get damaged by light and oxygen. So we're giving them the least care. They should be getting the most care. I said, we should make them with health in mind, protect them from light, oxygen, heat while they're being made, while they're being settled, filtered, filled, nitrogen flushed, obviously, in a box to cut the light out, in glass so you don't get plastic in the oil, from organically grown seeds so they're free of pesticides. You know, so we put all of that together. And then I found out that omega-3 is the single most widespread essential nutrient deficiency of our time. 99% of the population does not get enough omega-3s for optimum health. Omega-6 intake has doubled in the past 100 years. Omega-3 intake has been reduced to 1/6 of what people got 150 years ago. And when I had developed that, I found that out. It's like, oh my God, if we could bring omega-3s made with health in mind, fish oils are super damaged, made with health in mind, back to the people who are not getting enough, we could help make the quality of life better for 99% of the population. And I like big projects. Thinking small has never been my problem. I like them. Oh my God, we could help so many people. I got so excited. You know, because when you help, it feels good in the heart. You know, that's maybe going back to the big picture, right? Why helping is such a good deal? Because it feels good in the heart to help. Imagine you could help 99% of the population. Oh my God. you'd be so heartfelt, loved. Oh my God. And the enthusiasm that came from, oh my God, I found a purpose. Oh my God, this is something worth doing. Oh my God, it has to be done. Oh my God, I get to do it. And it was that enthusiasm that created that whole thing. And I had no business background. We made business decisions right and left, standards and development of the method of production, you know, and then we set standards for other people. We would not work with distributors who didn't have refrigeration in their storage facility. And then we went around and told the story, and we were just so on fire that flax oil, which is the richest source of omega-3, but a poorly balanced oil, we didn't know that at the time, that became the second highest selling oil in the natural foods trade within 2 years. And because everybody wanted to work with us because we had created this buzz. And that buzz came out of, you know, the satisfaction you put into the job, right? The buzz came out of, oh my God, we could help so many people. And that was, you know, just like, you know, and I've, you know, why I work with the big picture, because that's even more important. The big picture, that we find our way back to the place where we feel whole. That is job one on the planet. Because if we don't do that, we will destroy the planet. We will destroy ourselves. You know, but anyway, so when it comes to nutrition, that is the single most neglected area. And we started with flax oil. Then because I became omega-6 deficient on flax oil, I got dry eyes, skipped heartbeats, arthritis-like pain in finger joints, and thin, papery skin, classic omega-6 deficiency symptoms. Fixed it by taking omega-6s, actually sunflower seeds, because they have omega-6s but no omega-3s. So brought the balance together, said, okay, the balance is important, developed a blend with omega-3 that's missing and omega-6s that are made with health in mind, because I want people off the omega-6s that are damaged. Created a blend called Uros oil. It's got 9 ingredients, and it's the one-shot deal to get people everything made right in the right ratio. And we recommend it 2 to 4 tablespoons a day, or a tablespoon per 50 pounds of body weight per day, or whatever it takes to make your skin soft and velvety. If your skin is dry, you need more of the right kind of oil, because omega-3 and 6 together form a barrier in the skin against the loss of moisture. But skin gets them last and loses them first, because the inner organs that if they didn't get their essential fatty acids, you would die, they get priority. Nature's pretty smart that way. Mm-hmm. And so when your skin becomes soft and velvety, then you know that you have enough of the oils that your body needs. So when that got done, then I traveled for 15 years out of a suitcase, 6 to 9 months a year, in 40 countries, telling the story. And then I came, then the next question was, what's next? Next is digestion. So I got into enzymes, probiotics, fiber, bitters. And then what's next? I got into greens, you know, portable greens for people who know they should eat their greens but don't.
Yeah.
And people who travel, who, you know, so I got into greens. And then one day I was saying, okay, well, what else affects health? And the answer came back, everything affects health. And so I got into basically total health is based in nature and human nature. And human nature is, there are 8 parts to nature and human nature. The human part is what we talked about at the beginning, internal awareness, which is where the peace lives. And then life energy, which is the solar energy that is unconditional love for you and the mastery in your body. And then inspired purpose, that's the shine of life into the world. Then it's the physical body, food and fitness, digestion, rest, all of that. That's where most of the energy goes. When people say health, they usually talk about food and fitness. But then there are survival smarts, which is the protective part of mind. And that's also where reproduction and safety and all of those issues, education, are in the survival part of mind. And then outside of the body, social group, they affect your health. You know, we used to, when we were kids, since people ticked us off, we'd scream at them, "You make me sick!" You know, so even as kids, we knew, "You make me sick," right? Right? And yeah. then there's the natural environment. Obviously, polluting it is kind of like we have a summary of the all environmental issues. It goes like this: when you shit in your nest, you will nest in your shit. Somebody had carved that into a log on a beach one time, like in huge letters, like 12-inch letters. I thought there's no better summary of the environmental issues, and we shouldn't do more to fix those issues. We mostly need to do less, except we need to plant more trees, especially, and we need to use water more effectively because there's too much in places and there's too little in other places. And we need to make sure that the soil gets replenished, because what we're doing is we're taking minerals out of the soil, like 20 minerals go into the plant. I eat the plant. My poop goes in the toilet and is sent out to the ocean, and that poop is the topsoil. So there's really good topsoil at the bottom of the ocean. Great, right? And the soils are being depleted by us doing that. So we need to actually make the wastes. We need to sterilize them, and we need to put them back on the land. And those are the three main things that we need to do. You know, and of course, we need to stop making and using and buying poison that makes some people rich, but at the expense of the only treasure on this planet, which is life. Mm-hmm. Life is what makes this planet special. Mm-hmm. So then I started looking at that. So I kind of developed like a bullseye of the 8 key parts designed by nature. It's health. Total health, or total global sacred sexy health, different ways of saying it, and turning human nature into a teachable field. Because we've been living here for 200,000 years, and we have never turned human nature into a teachable field. How stupid is that? You know, we're supposed to be smart, and the most important thing that we're walking around in, we completely ignore. It's just like, hello. So, you know, and because I came out of a war, and because I had the experiences I did, kind of like, you know what, this is really a good thing to do with the time I have, because it's not about anything except how can I help? What is the biggest splash for good I can make? And I think turning total health and human nature into teachable field is the biggest thing I can think of to do. I don't know that there is anything bigger than that. That's why I'm doing it.
Beautiful. What a gift. And so are you turning that into a course, a book?
Yeah, I've got about 10,000 pages of notes. Yeah. So I'm always working on it. And I haven't got it organized because it doesn't flow yet. When I wrote the book on oils, Fats That Heal, Fats That Kill, it literally flowed. It was like it was channeled. It flowed through me. Mm. And I'm not at the place yet where this is flowing through me. Although I'm articulate about it, I have really good insights. I don't know the structure of it yet. And that structure, whenever it's time, I'm 81, so that structure better show up fairly soon. I'm basically waiting for the structure. And I can make courses. I've thought about all kinds of different. Each one of those parts could be a book by itself, yeah. Each one of those 8 parts. But I want to make it comprehensive because we need to give each part of nature, you know, all those 8 parts, they're different in their nature and their function. They need a different kind of attention on a regular basis. They go off in a different way and they respond to a different kind of intervention. So you want to live a really good life, you have to give all 8 parts their due. And there's no reason why that can't be done. And it is a field. I mean, honestly, that I think is the education that's missing in our education.
Yeah. Yeah.
It's the one thing, you know, about who you are and what this is. You know, even in biology, you know, I took biology because I knew it was study of life. Bio means life. I knew Latin and word roots because I'm from Europe, right? Bio means life. I wanted to study life. And I thought at one point we were going to end up with a beaker full of something liquid and shining called life. And I wanted to see that. You don't actually study life in biology. You study form and function. You even study the form of the molecules that carry the energy, like ATP, adenosine triphosphate. You never get a handle on the energy. So we're not studying biology in biology. Then I went to psychology, study of soul. I thought, yeah, soul, that sounds like something that might be good to know. You don't study soul in psychology. You study thoughts, beliefs, emotions, mm-hmm. Right? So then I went into medicine because it's called healthcare. So I'm going to learn about health. And we only learned about disease. I went to the dean. I said, what is health? He said, we don't know. We're working on it. But they're not working on it. They always look at disease, you know. And I realized I learned more about health in biology than in medicine, because in biology you study normal creatures functioning normally in normal situations. That's kind of like what health is, right? They're always looking at disease. So my question is, well, how long do you have to look into darkness before you know what the nature of light is? Well, it's never going to happen. You want to know what light is, you need to look at light. You want to know what health is, you need to look at health. Mm. So you need to study normal, healthy people, creatures, not sick ones. And of course, the whole thing is run by pharmaceutical input, and pharmaceutical is unnatural in its inception. No one has ever died from a pharmaceutical drug deficiency, right? And the whole thing is set up for not solving problems, because then you have patients for life. Because if you actually cured them, then they'd go away, right? So there's a bias in the industry to not fix it because it's better commerce. And then it's like, and then money, if money is more, become then money becomes more important than life, then you end up with all the crazy stuff going on the planet.
Yes. Right?
And so, you know, so I guess I went through the war, because we always end up in war when we live like that. Mm. When we're not living in reverence of life, we always end up destroying life, ultimately. And I went through that in Europe. So I got my culture stripped and all of that, all of the things we like to, you know, the things we're used to, we got all of that stripped. We lost everything except body and life. We lost the farm, we lost the house, we lost the community, we lost the fields, we lost the animals, we lost the furniture, we lost the cutlery, you know, we lost the friends, we lost the place, we lost the language, you know, and we ended up, I was 2.5 years old when we were refugees, fleeing from the communists on dirt roads in tanks and trucks. The communists were chasing us in tanks and trucks. We were on horse-drawn hay wagons. And there were dead people in the ditches and dead horses. And the allies, which you'd like to think of the good guys, they were using us refugees as target practice. And there was no military presence on those roads, dirt roads. And so my mother left, she had six kids with her, 6 years and younger. She went through the fields. It was winter, but it was safer than being on the roads. And she could only take two kids with her, so four of us got left behind. And so lost a mother too, in that sense. Father was off to war. And, eventually we got reunited. But imagine her having to make that decision. There's one thing, it's like, I wouldn't want to be a mother to have to make that decision. It wasn't good for me, but you put yourself in her place. She was trying to save something, not mm-hmm. lose everything, right? Mm-hmm. And so I basically started not having to work my way through cultures and beliefs and stuff. I kind of like that all got stripped right from the beginning. And so I got an advantage from that. And so now I look back at the war and say, what a gift. I don't wish it on anybody. And it wasn't a gift. I didn't see it as a gift. But something took perfect care of me through all of that stuff. Oh, maybe, and it was like, oh, maybe I ought to get to know that. Now, I started looking at that when I was 26. So I was complaining about the war, complaining. And then one day I realized, oh, my God, something took perfect care of me all this time. And I have never given it a moment's appreciation. I have never wanted to get to know it. Said, it's been a really good friend. Yeah, you're looking for a friend? Make friends with your life. And that was part of my turnaround to realize how important it is that we get present in our own space. So that's a quick run over. Yeah. We can do another one if you want to get into more details about all that. But
yeah, wow. But, and that's what made beautiful you. And right.
Well, it's yeah, life, you know, but yeah, but life made me beautiful, and the sun made me alive.
Yeah.
Right.
Yeah.
So this is not like, look at me, you know, like we do that a lot. No, it's like, oh my God, how lucky I am. Mm-hmm. How wonderful it is that I've been put in a place to be useful for that.
Mm. Incredible. Yeah. Thank you so much from the bottom of my heart. I enjoyed it incredibly.
Yeah, thank you, Jane.
If you've enjoyed the information in this episode, share it with someone you care about and know will benefit. There is one thing for certain. Meltdowns are inevitable. Let's move into mastery together. In the show notes, you'll find my Linktree, which has links to many of the most popular platforms. You'll also find links to connect to the featured guest, webpage, and social media. Thanks again for being committed to mastery. Change in this world really starts within each of us.